desperately want to help these children and their families, but to do so, we need to know how to do that. We need to know what their trauma is. We need to learn what they need. And so we need to experience it too. We need to be present in their pain. And to do that, the only way we can share in somebody's pain is if they'll share it with us. They'll open up to us. And that's not always easy. It's not easy to get people to share the pain they're going through. Like, I'm not so convinced of that, Chaplain Rick. Okay, well, I'll prove it to you. You probably did it already this morning. When you walked into the building, someone probably asked, hey, how are you? Did you really tell them? Did you really tell them how you were doing today? Or you say, oh, I'm fine. I'm great. I'm wonderful. Things are going well. But are they really? And even if something significant is going on in your life, that's still probably how you answer, isn't it? Why do we do that? Why don't we share our intimate burdens with others? Why do we suffer in silence? But that seems to be the way we do it. We're often ashamed, almost, of what we're going through. Maybe we mistakenly feel like it was something we did to make something bad happen to us. It's not how it works. There are consequences to our choices, yes, but the greater suffering in the world, disasters, things, brokenness, that's not the result of our individual things that we do. So why do we hide our pain? Because you're not alone. All of us do it. In fact, we see a big example of it in our Old Testament lesson today. Naomi is trying to suffer alone. She's trying to be in her pain by herself. She sends those close to her away. If we look at that lesson again, at verse 3, it says, Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. And then if you jump to verse 8, now Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, no, we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. For if I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter for me, for your sake, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And one of them listens and leaves. But Ruth clings to her, and even then, Naomi tries to push her away. At verse 15, and she said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. So be like Orpah, Ruth, go, leave me. She's content to suffer alone. Why? Why do we have this desire to be in pain by ourselves, to not accept the help that is offered? And we see it when we try to help other people. Many of the people we try to help will react to the mercy that we're offering with anger or shame. I don't need your charity. Or they're too ashamed of it to seek out help in the first place. I think we do the same thing sometimes. If we think about our lives, what secret struggles do we hide from others? Is there something we even try to hide from God? What are you not willing to give up? What are you not willing to confess? What won't you repent of? Or what pain are you suffering that you don't even ask for mercy from? Because this is all backwards. God wants to help us in everything. He wants to be there in every need. He wants to help in every struggle. He always helps And he always helps the same way. It's through being present, by being present in our pain. Think about how he even went about saving us, each and every one of us. He sent his son, not just to come and take care of them, but to be one of us. He sent him into the flesh. Jesus went through this sin-broken world. He lived in it. He walked beside us and experienced our pain. He went to the cross, beaten, abused, humiliated, and dead. And in every step of it, he is the embodiment of God's presence. Very God with us. The new life he wins in the resurrection is given to you through his presence in your suffering. That's his gift to you. A new life because he gave up his. The presence of his mercy in the midst of our pain is how he has chosen and promised to care for us. And so when you're suffering, when we're in pain, it never has to be alone. He sent his son to suffer with us. And as we are saved through his presence, he continues to work and he extends that love to others through our very lives. Through the things that we do. As we show compassion to others, they get a glimpse of God's love. Through our presence, God is present with them. It's who he's called us to be when he sends us to go and be his hands and his feet, when we are to be the source of compassion and mercy. It's him working through us. They get to see his presence, experience his presence through us. And that's the example. In the entire book of Ruth, we see just the beginning of it in our lesson this morning. At verse 14, after Naomi tries to send them away, Ruth clung to her. Naomi again tries to send her away. And at verse 16, but Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." Ruth is unrelenting. She's unwilling to let Naomi suffer alone. She will be present in her pain. And then we see the example. As the story goes on, it is through Ruth's presence in Naomi's life that they are both saved. Boaz marries Ruth, not Naomi. And so Ruth gets redeemed by the marriage. Boaz saves her. And it's Ruth's presence in Naomi's life that she gets provided for as well. The presence extends beyond the single person. God's love and rescue is there for Naomi as well. As we are faithful, as we experience God's presence, he lets that presence go out to others. To be present in pain. It seems to be Paul's advice to Timothy as well in our epistle lesson. He starts out the lesson, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus," trying to give his encouragement. "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men." Continue the message. It comes through Paul, not through Timothy. It's going to go on through others. "For they will be able to teach others also." It keeps going. "Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." He knows this is part of what it means. You bear Christ's mercy to the world by being present with it. We are present in the pain of others. Verse 8, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering." He knows it's part of what the job entails. "Bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect. I will suffer with those that need to hear this lesson, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Because that's what's at stake. Their very salvation. And so as we have heard and received the incredible message of salvation, we now bear it forth by being present in the suffering of others, presence in their pain. And through it, we get to be God's instrument of love in their lives. That's amazing. It gets right down to the core of what it means to be a Christian. The word itself, Christian, means to be Christ-like. And if we are going to do that, if we are going to be Christ-like, then we are going to take on what he has done. He was present for us. We will be present for people as they face various kinds of suffering. We will be present in their pain. And that looks like many different things. At Dakota Boys and Girls Ranch, it might mean running through snow up to your knees or waist as a child tries to flee from the problems of their lives through the winter. You go with them to bring them back to safety and warmth. As they're trying to strangle out the pain and suffering in their lives, you might have to climb a tree to loose that cord and bring them back home. It might mean sitting with them and showing them unconditional support, even as you have to deliver news of their parents wanting to sign away their rights. It might mean offering children sensory breaks in the midst of the multiple stimuluses of their lives when it becomes overwhelming. It means providing education in the way that each child needs through their independent education plans. It means sitting with them as support, unconditional, as they take exams and tests. And it might mean just listening to their story, being flooded with the pain as they relive it themselves, showing them that it's okay. There are a few examples of how we are present in the pain of those we serve at the ranch. And I'm not trying to say that we're more Christ-like than others. That's not it at all. I'm just explaining what it means to help people succeed in the name of Christ. It's presence. It is Ruth sticking with Naomi in the midst of tragedy. It is Job's friends as they sit silently with him after devastating loss. It's Jonathan helping David escape from his own father, Saul. It is Elijah staying with a widow during a drought and famine, and even raising her son back up to her in her need. It's Jesus coming to earth, yes, but then while he's here eating with tax collectors and prostitutes. It's him going out and being amongst the sinners and seeking out and healing lepers, even those that society has deemed unclean. It's being present. It's Ananias visiting Paul when he is blind. It is presence. It is going out into the midst of the people, whatever their need, and being there, suffering alongside them. Because this is the very same way that God has saved each and every one of us. It's how he saved you. He is present in your pain. He wants you to know his compassion, and so he's present with you. His mercy, his love, it's all there every step, no matter what we're facing. And as he has been present for you, now you get to be present for others. You get to be his presence in the midst of their pain. It's presence. As you're there providing the services for those when they've lost loved ones, whether it be the funeral itself or the refreshments and hospitality afterwards, you are present in their pain. It's offering the charity and the resources to the community around you when they have need, the hot meals, the clothes, the blankets. It's presence in their pain. It's opening your hearts to whatever need is in your community. However you get involved, however you reach out, you're doing it as an ambassador of the grace that's been given in Christ. As he has been present in your life, now he is present in others' lives because of you. You are his presence. He has been present for you, and you get to be his presence in the pain of others. It's who he's called us to be. It's who he's created us to be through the presence he brought in his Son. And so, we are present because Christ is present for you. Amen. May the grace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now until forevermore.